This is the podcast for Woodland Presbyterian Church in Memphis, Tennessee. We are maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. We hope you enjoy the message. And if you'd like to learn more about our church, look us up at woodlandpres.org. Thanks so much. May the Lord bless you.
I am excited to be here on Mission Sunday. I heard the words to the hymn, "Where you send, I will go." Those are dangerous words to pray. I have prayed them and asked God those words, and God sent me. I moved overseas, lived overseas for 7 years, and I remember in 2001 when God began calling me. I was in seminary, took an intro to missions class. At the same time, I was starting an engineering job, and a Muslim from another country was the person who trained me. And the very first week on the job, we were getting into conversations about who is Jesus and can God's word be trusted. And God began doing something in my heart. And since 2001, I've had this passion and this desire to be a part of what God has called his people to do. And that is to take the amazing gospel of Jesus Christ to all the nations. And one of the things that I have loved to do as I have grown into seeking more about how does God's church take this gospel to the whole world is I have studied the history of missions, and I've looked at other passages that help us to understand. And the passage we're looking at this morning, one of the reasons why I want to focus on this is because of the significance of John 17 in the history of missions. For a few hundred years, one of the most influential passages on missions was Matthew 28. Go and make disciples in all nations. And this is a passage that has mobilized so many people to go to the ends of the earth, proclaiming the good news of Christ. But in the 20th century, there were several leaders and theologians from around the world who began to say, you know, Matthew is not the only book where Jesus sends the disciples out. And there's something unique that happens in the Gospel of John. And one of the things that was observed is there's an obvious difference between Matthew's commissioning and John's commissioning. So in Matthew, he has the disciples, he's sending them out. In John, the same thing is happening. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And this gets repeated in John chapter 20, where Jesus repeats the same phrase, as the Father has sent me, I have sent you. But I ask you to observe one thing. In Matthew 28, there is a clear command. This is what you are to do. Where is the command in John 17? There's not a command. But there is a model that's given. In John, we see something that introduces us to not just what we are to do, but how we are to do it and why we are to do it. Now, of course, that is in Matthew. I don't want to make it sound like these two commissions don't go along with each other. But we want to look at this morning, why has God called us and how are we sent into the world? This is one of the things that I want to look at. And I want to look at two main points as we dig into this passage. The two main points are, one, holiness leads to mission. Holiness leads to us being sent into the world. And two, mission leads to knowing God. Holiness leads to mission, and mission leads to knowing God. Let me pray before we dive into these points. Father, we just thank you for this moment, for your word that teaches us, that guides us, that instructs us. Will you please prepare our hearts to go where you send us and to receive what you have for us? We pray in your son's name. Amen. When we look at the first point, I want to draw your attention to some of the language, particularly in verses 17 through 19. Notice in verse 17 and 19, there is this language surrounding holiness. Verse 17, it says, sanctify them by the truth. Verse 19, I sanctify myself that they too may be truly sanctified. Whenever you think about sanctification and holiness, is being sent in mission the first thing that comes to your mind? I think for many people, if we were to ask people outside the church, if you hear a phrase like holier than thou, or you hear a phrase like holiness, one of the first things that comes to people's mind is this idea of I'm avoiding sin. There is sin that is out there and I am avoiding it. And we don't often make the connection of holiness and mission. And yet, when we look in this passage, this is most definitely the context of John chapter 17. Jesus is praying for his disciples, and he's not praying that they be taken out of the world. He is very explicitly praying that I want protection for the disciples, but by no means does that suggest that they are to be taken out of the world. No, they are in the world. And we see this language about being sent. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. The word for missionary comes from the Latin missio, to send. This idea is very much a part of what John is doing, and Jesus is connecting the mission given to the disciples with his mission. This language of being sent is throughout the Gospel of John. There are 10 times before we get to John 17 where we see examples of Jesus talking about how the Father has sent him and how he has been sent into this world. And when we get to John 17, it doesn't let up. There's 5 times in this passage where Jesus talks about having been sent by the Father. And so there is this deep connection of the sending of the disciples and the sentness of the Son of God. The context of John chapter 17 is mission. It is people being sent out. When I looked at Tim Keller's sermon on this passage, he asked the question, why is it that holiness is in chapter 17 and 19 and mission is sandwiched in between them? And Tim Keller says, it's because it's not two different ideas. It's not two disconnected concepts, but that they go together. Holiness leads to mission. And for mission to be successful, for mission to work, there must be holiness. But there's very much this idea of being set apart for something that is not just common. This is the idea of holiness, but it is important for us to grasp that holiness has always had this idea of being set apart, yes. Being avoiding sin, yes. But to what end? To what purpose? If we go back to the book of Leviticus, we see that this connection of holiness and mission is not a new idea. In Leviticus 19, the word, the command is given not just to priests, but to the whole assembly of God. You are to be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And in Leviticus 19, this is the same chapter where we get the command that you are to love your neighbor as yourself. This is the chapter where we see the commands given to God's people that whenever they harvest their crops, they are not to harvest to the edges, but they're to leave the edges for the poor and for the foreigner who is in your midst. Holiness is about abstaining from sin, but it is also about representing who God is. There's a quote from Mark Scarlatta's book on Leviticus that I love. To be set apart as a holy people means that everyone must strive to reflect God's love, compassion, mercy, and justice. When this happens, holiness becomes a collective sign of God's people, of God's blessing upon his people, and a witness to the nations. When I think of holiness, I think of an operating room with a surgeon and the surgeon's tools. That operating room and those tools must be clean. They must be kept away from dirt, kept away if there's any blood that gets on them. That needs to be sanitized. That needs to be secured. Is the purpose of the cleanliness of an operating room so that there will never be anything dirty that steps inside it, or so that dirt or illness will never step inside it? No, that is not why an operating room needs to be kept clean. An operating room needs to be clean so that when sin enters, or so that when disease or illness enters, that can be cured. And in the same way for you and I, we need to recognize that all of the disciplines that we develop in our lives towards holiness, all of the things that we do for the purpose of abstaining from sin, for the purpose of not conforming to the world, it is not just an end in itself. Our goal is not to have an operating room where no one ever gets operated on. That is not what holiness is to God's people. Holiness is connected to mission, and we see that clearly in this passage, that Jesus is calling his disciples to be holy for the purpose of mission. This is one of the first points that we see about mission is its connection to holiness. Holiness leads to mission. And the second insight that I think was so pivotal in the conversation about missions in the 20th century was that mission leads to knowing God. Within this context of John 17, the context of the disciples being sent out in mission into the world, is this statement about eternal life in the beginning of John chapter 17. In the beginning of John chapter 17, Jesus talks about eternal life, which if we've been paying attention to the whole of John's gospel, we know that eternal life is not just a blessing that we experience in the future one day. But eternal life is something we can benefit from and appreciate now. And Jesus says that this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. We are to know God. And again, this whole chapter of John 17 is in the context of mission. Notice right before John defines what eternal life, he says the hour has come. That word hour, sometimes in English it's translated as hour, sometimes it's translated as time, but this phrase has come up over and over in John's gospel. In John chapter 2, he says, my hour has not yet come, when talking to his mother. In John chapter 4, this talking to the Samaritan woman, he says, or the woman at the well, the hour is coming. In John chapter 5, an hour is coming. John chapter 7, they could not lay a hand on him because his hour had not come. Throughout the book of John, we see that Jesus has a mission. And he does not move away from it, but has a singular focus on his mission. And part of his mission is helping people to know who God is. And that they will know why. And one of the things that I want to draw our attention to is that when we want to know why do we do mission, it is not just because God said to do it. We engage in mission because this is who God is. Whenever Jesus says, I am sending you in the same way that I was sent, I am asking you to do something that I have done. Jesus does not teach mission the way that I teach my kids how to drive. The way that I teach my kids how to drive is very much do as I say, not as I do. This is something they have heard several times when I pull out quickly into traffic or I'm doing something. I'm telling my kids, I have one daughter driving, one son about to, do not do as I do as I say. This is not what Jesus is doing. Jesus is not saying, I want you to have compassion for the world. By the way, I have not done this. This is not at all what we see. We see that mission is a part of who God is. Being sent out to serve others is core to who God is. This was one of the major emphases in discussions around mission in the 20th century, was people said, we cannot look at mission as just simply one of the things that the church is supposed to do. And we engage in mission. We go to other countries. We send people to proclaim the word of God because Jesus gave us all these commands, and this is one of the things that he told us to do. One of the things that people drew attention to is we engage in mission because this is who God is. This is at the essence, at the core of who God is. David Bosch, in one of his books, made the comment, mission is not primarily an activity of the church, but an attribute of God. God is a missionary God. The church is an instrument for that mission. Mission is not primarily an activity of the church, but an attribute of God. And this is how, if we want to know God and appreciate him, we engage in mission. I think of whenever my parents, when I moved out of the house and went to college, I still remember being a little bit bitter that that was the moment when my parents decided to finally pay for cable TV and get a huge TV. But as I became a parent myself, I realized why they waited until I moved out of the house. They had money at that point. Kids cost money. When I became a parent, I began to realize, oh, these are the sacrifices that my parents made. I didn't understand it at the time, but now I realize now why my dad has a huge TV. They were spending money on me. They were putting food on my plate. Whenever we go out in mission and we serve in mission, we begin to know who God is. Think about this. Whenever you go out into mission and you encounter difficulty, let's say that you go out and you serve somebody who makes poor choices and does not demonstrate that they are worthy of your effort, and you turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, can you believe this? I am trying to help this person, and they are making stupid decisions. And Jesus will turn to you and say, interesting, tell me about that. Give me some insight into what it might be like to serve someone who has made dumb decisions. There are times where we may serve someone and say, no one appreciated what I did. Look at the sacrifices that I made. No one drew attention to it. And Jesus will look at you and say, yeah, I know a little something about that too. In fact, not only did people not appreciate what I did, they mocked me. They ridiculed me. They spat on me. They crucified me. Whenever we step out in mission, whatever difficulty we encounter, it will pale in comparison to what Jesus has done when he was sent by the Father. We will come to know God whenever we are sent in mission. And whenever we want to look at the sacrifices that we have made, whenever there are churches in the U.S. and we say, hey, look at the money that we could have spent doing things for what we are doing here locally, but we sent money out to Lebanon. We sent money out. We sent resources out to Honduras. We sent good people. These are people we could have had serving here, but we sent them out, and we have made these sacrifices. And when we do that and we think about that, one of the things that I hope comes to our minds is 2 Corinthians 8:9. For consider the grace, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. Whenever we engage in mission, we come to know who God is. God is a missionary God. This is core to the idea of who God is. And when we do not engage in mission, when we do not experience the challenges, the difficulties, the frustrations that come about whenever God sends us into a broken world, when we do not do that, it is not just that other people are not hearing about who God is, but we ourselves are missing out on understanding and appreciation, and appreciating a core aspect of who God is. And so as I think about this Mission Sunday, what is it that I would like for us to think about and to grasp? Number one, when we think about the mission, I read through the list of ministry partners, the countries where you are involved, where you are sending resources and you have people engaged in these areas. One of the things that I hope that we realize is that whether it be in the world, throughout the world in other countries, or whether it be engaging in mission in this city, all of the things that take up the life of our church in a pursuit of holiness is not disconnected from that. But it is deeply connected. We grow closer to Christ. We avoid sin. We do this so that we can reflect to the world who God is. God has told us, be holy for I am holy. And being holy means representing the compassionate, just God who cares for the other, who cared for the poor and the sojourner, the foreigner in Leviticus 19. This is one of the things that needs to come to our attention. And then also, that as we serve in mission, that we reflect on this. One of the reasons it was mentioned, I'm Church Community Engagement Director at World Relief. One of the things that we really like to do is to partner with pastors, to partner with churches. Because whenever someone volunteers with us, it is inevitable that people get frustrated. There's just challenging situations. And one of the things that we long for people to do is to take those frustrations and to then think through them theologically. Think through those difficulties through the lens of, what is this teaching me about who God is? And how has God sent me? I leave with this thought. We are sent on mission as Jesus was sent on mission. He is the model, and where Jesus is recognizing that his hour had come, he is not saying there is nothing left to do, but he is commissioning God's people to extend his presence. I will close with this quote by Leslie Newbegin. The mission of the church is nothing less than the continuation of the presence of Jesus in the Spirit in the world. The mission of the church is nothing less than the continuation of the presence of Jesus in the Spirit in the world.
Thank you for listening to this message from Woodland Presbyterian Church, maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. If you would like to learn more about our congregation, please visit us at woodlandpres.org. God bless you today.